Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org. And what we're doing is introducing something to you today. And when we say Jesus at the center, what we're talking about is this is SCF's way to respond to the direction that comes from Jesus for his church and those who follow him. You can read about that in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. And there we read where Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So when we say Jesus at the center, this is our way at Shanghai Community Fellowship to respond to what Jesus is calling us to do. So if you're familiar with the word discipleship, Jesus at the center is another way to say discipleship. Now, let me tell you, before I give you a little background on how do we get to this place, in introducing this, well, it just wouldn't be a proper introduction without stickers. So we have stickers today that say Jesus at the center. And when you leave today, if you want to go by the welcome table, we have stickers to give. Take some with you. And we want you to know that they're going to be there next week and the week after that. So if it's really crowded at the table, we don't want anybody to go home like feeling all bummed out and really disappointed. I didn't get a sticker. I couldn't stay that long. We'll be here next week, okay? So we're all good, right? So, but we want to get you one of these stickers. I'm wearing one right here, and so we hope you'll do that. I guess you can put these on your computer and like those kind of things. All right, so how did we get to this place where we are today introducing you to Jesus at the center? So every year, at the end of our ministry year, which is also the end of our fiscal year, so which is June 30th, as we come up on June 30th, we always do an evaluation. We just kind of do some reflecting over the year that we've had. We involve all of the leaders of SCF. It's about 80 to 90 people. And one of the ways we do that reflection is we come up with, well, we don't really come up with it. We know that in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are at least 15 different things that any church would be doing. We preach, churches preach the gospel, churches make disciples, churches worship, churches evangelize, tell other, make Christ known. You know, there's about 15 different things that comes right out of the Bible, right out of the New Testament. And so what we do at the end of every year is among the leaders, we ask ourselves, how did we do this year at these different things that we're supposed to be doing? How did we do? Which of these 15 different things that every church should be doing, including us, which of these things maybe are our top three? We think as the leadership, we're pretty good at this. We think we're doing pretty good. And which are the three, which are maybe the top three that we need some help? You know, we need to keep working on this, not our strength. Well, a couple of years ago when we did this exercise, again, almost every single leader listed as the number one thing that we could be better at is making disciples. Almost every single leader said, you know, it's not that people aren't growing in Christ when you come to SCF. We see that, people that we know personally. I've grown in Christ, but it's just not, we're not very intentional about it. We're not very purposeful. I mean, and considering that Jesus is so clear and really clearly gives that kind of direction that we should be making disciples, it seems such a central part of what it is to be a Christ follower. As leaders, we say we're not really doing a really good job at this. It's certainly not very intentional about it or purposeful. So as the elders took that information from the leaders and heard that response, you know, we're looking at that and we're saying, yeah, you know, that makes sense to us. Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. We see that too. And initially the conversation was, yeah, for next year, that should be our focus. You know, for the next year, let's make that our focus. But the more we started talking to each other and prayerfully looking at that and the different things, and we realized that this was something more than just a focus for the year. That making disciples and following Jesus and what we just read was more than a once a year focus. It's really something he's calling us to as a whole community that really would characterize our entire culture. So that making disciples describes the culture of Shanghai Community Fellowship. It's just who we are. If someone were to ask you on the street, you go to SCF, what's SCF's all about? Our response would be, we're about making disciples. We're about helping people become followers of Jesus Christ, about moving closer to Jesus and having Jesus moving closer to the center of our lives. Now, if you've been a part of SCF, you know that some other ways that we describe our culture are we're very much a church all about community, right? I mean, it's in the middle of our name. It's Shanghai Community Fellowship. We're always talking about community. We're if I can say this, proud to say that this is who we are. We're all about Christian community. And of course, worship is another cultural identity marker. So we're not taking away from those things that identify us. We're adding to by saying we want discipleship to be one of those cultural markers that describes who we are. Let me tell you something else that happened that helped kind of pull this together and then push us out with direction. A couple of years ago, we were participating in something we've been doing now for a couple of years since, and we call it the SCF Alumni. Shanghai Community Fellowship Alumni. Now it hasn't gotten any farther than Singapore, so if you're from Singapore, we do it there. That when we go there, when we say, hey, we're going to pull together people who used to attend SCF living in Singapore, when we did it, we actually had people fly in from other countries in the region to come to the SCF alumni meeting and gathering. So it was fun. And I remember especially the first time we did it, just talking and catching up with people. These are, of course, are friends that have been a part of SCF at some point in their journey, and now they're either went back home to Singapore or they're now working out of Singapore, their home country or someplace else. And one of the things that really got our attention is how people would describe how difficult it was when they left Shanghai and when they left SCF. They just talked about, wow, that's, you know, it was really a struggle. And of course, some of that is typical expatriate reverse culture shock. And, you know, we all know about that kind of a thing. If you leave your birth culture and you integrate into another culture, and if you stay there long enough and you're successful at that integration, when you go back home, it can be kind of tough. You know, it's not always easy to go back home. And that's called reverse culture shock. So some of what we heard from our friends at the SCF alumni meeting gathering, it was just kind of reverse culture stuff. But some of it we didn't think was just that. Because what they were doing, and it wasn't just at the alumni gathering, it was as other conversations that we've had with other people across the world. When they would talk about how hard it was to connect spiritually with the body of Christ in that new place, another church, or even how to stay connected to Jesus intimately, like the way they knew him when they were here in Shanghai. And so often, that's what we were hearing. You know, it was really hard to leave. It wasn't just hard to leave, it was really hard to connect and grow and grow in Christ and connect to his people in a new place. That's what we were hearing. And as much as we loved, well, I mean, that's too strong of a word, as much as we kind of enjoyed people telling us how much they missed us, which is kind of nice to hear. Oh, yeah, we really miss you guys. Well, we miss you too. And it disturbed us, it moved us to hear people talk about their spiritual struggles, not being able to connect to the body of Christ, not losing, kind of losing touch with their walk with Jesus. Not that Jesus lost them, but, and we heard this and we said, you know, maybe as leaders of SCF and as this community right now, maybe we should be doing more than facilitating people falling in love with SCF. We're glad that you love SCF. But maybe we should be doing more than that. We should be helping people for when it's time for them to leave, when it's time for all of us to leave. And you know what? Most of us, if not all of us in this room, will leave at some point. our contract will be over, we'll graduate, our spouse will be reposted, or some way, fashion, or form, we'll be leaving. And really, the average stay is still about 2 or 3 years. So it's not really unusual for us to be considering that we're going to be leaving. And so what we said was, maybe what God is calling us to is to help people and prepare them for that time that they leave. And more than just missing us as a community, if we could help people during their time here to not just fall in love with SCF, but to fall in love with Jesus. Because when we get to wherever it is that we're going, there's not going to be a Pearl Tower there. There's not going to be a Bund there. But Jesus is going to be there. And if I've become familiar with him here, maybe it won't be so hard to become familiar with him there. And maybe there's some things that we can do now that facilitate that. And that plus the other, what are we doing well, what are we doing not so well, all kind of came together to say, we need to help people fall in love with Jesus, recognize how Jesus is at work in our lives, and see ourselves on a journey that is much bigger and longer than just my time and season in Shanghai, so that when I do leave here, I can expect to see Jesus. I can expect that he's still at work in my life. I can expect that he's still interested in me. And so that's really at the heart of Jesus at the center. So when we come together and when we arrive, we know that all of us arrive in basically one of four ways. I know it's one of those less type things. You probably, I'm the exception. Maybe you are the exception, but I'd say most of us would arrive in one of four ways. Some of us arrive as people exploring Christ. The people in this segment have maybe a basic belief in God, would acknowledge a divine being possibly, not really sure if that divine being has a name, not knowing much or convinced that Jesus has anything to do with that divine being, but you've got questions and you're asking those questions and you're looking for answers. And you arrive at a Christian church like an SCF because you thought maybe that Christians that gather together like this might know something about God. And that might be a safe place where you could ask questions and find out more about this divine being. And what do these people know that I don't know? And we come in this way, as we like to say where I'm from, kicking the tires. And when we say kicking the tires, in the United States, and I know other countries are the same way, but we buy other people's cars. We buy used cars, right? And when you go to buy a used car, you want to look it over, and of course you want to turn it on and make sure that the engine starts, and we used to say by looking over this car, you'd go by and you'd kick the tires. It was a way to kind of say, are these tires any good? You'd kick them, right? And of course you want to take the car around, just drive it around, make sure it's good before you buy it. So some of us are here exploring Christianity, and what we want to do is we want to kick the tires. We want to kick Christianity a little bit. Say, do I want to buy this? Maybe you want to drive it around for a little bit. I don't know. Before I jump in and I really commit to the whole thing. And we arrive like that. Some of us arrive growing in Christ. And in this segment, people have a personal relationship with Christ. And they have made a commitment to trust him with their soul salvation for all of eternity. It's just they're beginning to learn what it means to trust and live with this Jesus every day of their life. We pray, but mostly when we're in a crisis. Oh God, I've got an exam tomorrow and I haven't studied. Help me, help me. I've got an important meeting at the end of this week with my boss, and this is gonna make a difference whether I get a raise or not. Jesus, help me, I'm stuck. I need your help. And it's a way of acknowledging that, yes, my ticket has been punched. I've got a seat on the train to glory. I feel secure that if I died tonight, I'd be in heaven. But how I live this out every day, how this affects my decisions, how this influences the way I date, how this influences this my life in Jesus, the way I treat my spouse. I'm not really sure. I'm still trying to sort all that out, growing in Christ. Some of us arrive in the segment of close to Christ. Those close to Christ are trusting and depending on him every day. They see Christ as someone who assists them in life. And on a daily basis, they turn to him for help and guidance for the issues that they face. And some of us arrive Christ-centered. The people in this segment would identify themselves and the relationship with Jesus as the most important relationship in their life. They're living Christ-centered lives out of the center of their life where Jesus resides and dwells. They see their life as fully surrendered to Jesus and his agenda. When Jesus said to us that we should take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him, Christ-centered people take that seriously, and that's how they live. Every day, they take up their cross. Every day, they deny themselves. Every day, they follow Jesus. We arrive from all over the world and different places spiritually, different places relating to Jesus, but here we are in one place, in one place. I remember as a young Christian, and I mentioned this recently here, I'll say it again, I was being discipled, right? People were mentoring me as a new Christian, and one of the things they told me was, you know, to capture this Christ-centered living, they said, Dale, you know, when you pray, put your hand over your head like you're standing under something. And when you pray, Jesus, I am standing under your sovereign authority, and I belong to you. My life is not my own. It was bought with a price, and I am yours, and your banner over me is love. Nothing shall harm me. No weapon formed against me will harm me because I belong to Jesus and he belongs to me. Standing under the sovereign authority of Jesus, I place myself there every day. And I bring my wife with me. I'm married. I bring my wife with me. I bring my children with me under that authority. Christ-centered living. We come from different places, but we're going to journey together. Our aim for each person who connects with SCF during their time in Shanghai is to move closer to a life where Jesus is at the center. And we do that, by the way, by using the things that Jesus told us to do to make that a reality. It's not like, and this is a beautiful thing about God here, and there's a lot of beautiful things about God. It's not that he calls us to do something and then says, go figure it out on your own. I can't help you with that. He gives direction. And there's lots of direction in the Bible for how to live and follow him and obey him in this way. And we're calling them catalysts. Actually, it's a word we borrowed from somebody else, but we're calling them catalysts. And for those of you, last time you took science was year 11, maybe year 9. You know, you haven't had a science class since you were 15 years old. Some of you, you know, this is what you do for a living. But you know the catalyst, that thing they told you about that speeds up a process in the tube there and in the beaker, and it speeds it up, or it makes things happen and creates a reaction, right? Remember that? No, you're just looking at me like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. All right, well, that's what a catalyst does, okay? It speeds things up and creates reaction. And there are things that this Holy Spirit has given us as followers of Jesus to cause us to grow in him. There's a lot of them. There's quite a few. For this coming year, we're going to focus on 6 of them. Just 6. And I'm going to real quickly go through these. I'm going to tell you what the 6 are, and then we're going to hear from Khan. So let me give you all 6, and I'll come back. Reading the Bible, reflecting on it, and applying its meaning to your life. So not just reading the Bible, not just like trying to get a trophy for I read 78 verses a day, I'm the winner, you know, not, it's reading, reflecting, and applying, praying, community, making Christ known, serving the church or serving through the church, and tithing. So those are the six catalysts that we're going to work with this year. And during the year, you're going to see these in the e-newsletter, in the Sunday bulletin, on a PowerPoint screen. You're going to see this and go, oh, well, that's a Jesus at the center thing. And we'll make those connections for you. So let me back up real quickly. Reading the Bible, reflecting on its meaning, and applying it to our life. So every year, the American Bible Society, which is a part of the International Bible Society, does kind of a State of the Bible report, all right? And so they did one for 2019, and here's what we came up with. They asked several questions, great stuff that came out of this, but let me give you a couple of things. The top three reasons people give for reading the Bible. When they ask people, what's the reason that you read the Bible? Why do you read the Bible? There are the top three. Number one, I read the Bible because it brings me closer to God. Number two, I read the Bible because it helps me with direction. Number three, I read the Bible because it gives me comfort. And then they asked, what kind of impact has reading the Bible had on your life? They just asked me, and this was, you know, one verse once a week, you know, one chapter every day. This is a broad scope of just any bit of the Bible coming in, reading it regularly. Not, you know, so there you go. Just a wide range of people. What impact did reading the Bible have on your life? Here's top three answers. Number one, I feel more engaged with my faith. And number two, this is my favorite, I am more loving and patient with other people. Some of us here need to read the Bible before you go to work tomorrow morning. I'm just saying. I'm more loving and patient with other people when I read the Bible. I'm just saying, before you go to work tomorrow, just one verse, Matthew 28. Read Matthew 28 again. All right, number three, the way it impacts my life. I am able to be more generous with time, money, and energy. Because reading the Bible is so valuable, and we're just touching the surface here. Earlier, you heard it announced that we're offering on October 30th something called IBS, Inductive Bible Study. We're gonna teach you how to read the Bible and apply it, understand its meaning and apply it to your life. We're gonna be doing this multiple times during the year. So if you can't come on the 30th, we do another one called DBS, Discover a Bible Study. That's kind of more of an introductory thing. But IBS, Inductive Bible Study. When we said in the SDF office that we were going to be offering IBS, Inductive Bible Study, Josh told us, did you know that IBS stands for Irritated Bowel Syndrome? We looked it up and we Googled it, and it sure does. IBS, Irritated Bowel Syndrome. Do not come on October 30th with intestinal problems. We're not going to be able to help you with that. This is Inductive Bible Study, IBS. Get the right IBS, and I think we're good to go on that. No pun intended. I'm going to let pause for a second there. And all right. Pray. Up in the balcony, they got it up there. I see them up there. Pray. Community. Pray. We are going to cover all kinds of aspects of praying. You know, the best way to learn how to pray is to pray. Best way to learn how to pray is to pray. Best way to have a fulfilling time of prayer is to pray. So we're going to do that. We're going to give you the rice and beans of prayer. Sue helped us with this name, rice and beans. You know, just about anywhere in the world, I know that not everyone is getting enough to eat, but most of the world can have access to at least rice and beans. These are the foundational staples of food stuff. And we want to give you the foundational things so that we might be praying and talking to God. The other one was community, loving each other, being loved and loving each other, making Christ known, serving through the church. And we made that distinction because there are different ministries of SCF. We're going to talk about how to serve and minister through the ministries of SCF. But there are other ministries outside of our church that are great, very kingdom advancing. And we're going to get to that eventually as well. And in the regular generous percentage giving. We're going to talk about all these catalysts as we move together toward making Jesus the center of our lives. I'd like to invite Khan up at this time. Khan's going to come and he's going to tell his own story about knowing Christ and following him. So, Khan, why don't you come?
Thank you, Pastor Dal. And just to clarify, that by me standing up here does not make me the perfect example of a Christian. Far from it. And you can ask my wife, she can attest to that. However, by me sharing a short part of my testimony, it's not for you to get all tangled up in the details of it, but rather to understand the overarching purpose of it, which is for you and I, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can make Jesus the center of our lives and in return benefit from it and reflect Jesus and making him known among the nations. So like many of you here, my life is also just an example of how God meets us where we're at, transforms us steadily but surely into the image of Christ. I can remember that Sunday evening very vividly. I was standing in the back of the church at the city that I went to for uni, and I had this massive headache and my hands were shaking. And the only thing that I could think of was what a huge mistake it was to come to church. Because the only thing that kept going over and over in my mind was alcohol. I've been battling alcoholism for a good 4+ years. And before that, addiction to prescription medication from the age of 16. I consider myself a Christian because I grew up in the Christian home and most of my friends are Christians. But I also know that that did not make you a Christian, nor did my life really reflect that. But that Sunday evening was really one of the few life-altering moments in my life. Because as I stood in church, I prayed to God and I told him to show me that he does exist, to show me and ask him to help me. Because otherwise I'll go home and I will commit suicide because this life that I'm living is not worth it. So I stood there for about 3 minutes and nothing happened. So naturally I concluded that, okay, God does not exist. And just as I turned around to go home, our pastor was standing behind me and he was looking straight in my eyes, almost as if he saw to the very depth of my soul and he knew everything that was going on. It all kind of happened really quickly, but then I asked him, do you have support for addicts at the church? And he said yes, and he got me connected to a recovery group. Suffice to say, that was when my recovery journey started. And I wish I could tell you that was the last time I drank, but unfortunately it was not. But just before you got all concerned and worried, I'm happy to say I've been sober since 2007. But it was also during that time that I started to have a personal relationship with God. And I knew, but people also told me that you need to start reading your Bible, go to church, pray, all of these catalysts that Pastor Dallas has been talking about. And it's all good and well, and I did that. But I also realized that people who were Christians for 10+ years still did the exact same thing. They still read their Bible, they still prayed, they still went to church and were in a community with fellow Christians. And I kind of realized that the application from spending your time with Jesus could maybe differ from someone who have just come to faith to someone who has been a Christian for 10+ years. But at the end, those very basic spiritual disciplines or principles remain the same. And I kind of saw that principle also in the recovery group. Unfortunately, I have witnessed many times over and over again how people would sit in recovery and have been sober for 20 years and then told us that they have relapsed. And initially, I really couldn't understand that because the program is kind of set up that if you attend the meetings, if you have a sponsor, you put your recovery boundaries in place, it just limits your chance for relapse. But it wasn't until someone actually told me that it's one thing to know about all of these things. One thing to know that you have to attend meetings, you have to have a sponsor, you have to put the recovery boundaries in place. But it's a completely different thing if you don't actually continue to work at your recovery. And if you just take it for granted, you can slowly but steadily become complacent and pride can slip in and you can relapse. And it's similar with our walk with God. It's good to know that you have to read your Bible, you have to pray, you have to do all these things. But if you don't actually apply it and kind of take it for granted, we too can become complacent and we can actually experience a spiritual relapse. And we don't want that for y'all. But I've also seen in the group that there were people sit there for the very first time. And they would tell us that they don't know how they're going to make it through that day. And then the following week, they would be there. That week becomes a month. The month becomes a year. And soon they themselves become a sponsor to help someone else through this recovery process. And it's similar. God wants us also not just to stay at that one day. He wants us to move to the week. He wants us to move to the month, to the year, and eventually ourselves become a sponsor and help someone else in a spiritual way, you know, to walk and make Jesus the center of our lives. So I just want to encourage you in this prayer that it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're a seeker, a new Christian, whether you've been a Christian for 5 years or 20 years, we're all on the same journey. We're all broken and in need of a savior. And we can all use this spiritual disciplines or catalyst to grow deep in our faith and make Jesus the center of our lives. Thank you, Pastor Dale.
Thanks, Con. You know, we are doing this together. We're starting a journey together. And again, what we're saying is we're shifting in a way, like turning a big ocean liner, right? You know, you just we're just going to start to turn where making disciples is something that characterizes who we are as a church and as a community. Because we are a church of the nations, for the nations, to disciple nations. We want it to be said of us that, you know, Shanghai Community Fellowship, we know those guys. If you go there, you'll become more like Jesus. They're really working with everybody to go in one direction where Jesus becomes the center of our lives. You know, you might be here because this is very much who we are. Transient, they're here today. Some of us are here for a month. Some of us are here for 6 months. We know that we're just here for the one semester, then we're moving back, or we've got a two-year contract, whatever. But you know, I've got to think about this. I don't think in any way that God is intimidated by the length of time that we are here. I don't think in any way that God just throw up his hand and say, oh, what can I do with him? What can I do with her? She's only going to be there a semester. Oh, let's just blow that off and, you know, we'll pick it up someplace down the future. I think very much that in the time that we are here and we are together, it's not about the length. It's about the heart. It's about my heart as it's directed to him and his heart for me and for you. And his desire to have us follow his son, to take up our cross and to follow him every day, where Jesus becomes the center of our lives. And we're going to do that together. And I said, you're going to see different times, things that we're doing that pull us together and help us to follow in this one direction. So let's pray. Father, I just give thanks and pray that as we purpose in our heart to take what Jesus has called us to do and answer that call, and that we're going to do that individually, and we all have our own individual stories, like we heard from Khan, as a community, corporately, we're going to also answer that call to follow your son Jesus every day so that we can say that Jesus is at the center of Shanghai Community Fellowship. And that every day, Shanghai Community Fellowship is going to take up the cross and follow Jesus. So, God, wherever we're starting right now, you know our hearts. You know where we're at. You know how where we are and how we're starting. Beginning with where we are right now, we're going to start to follow you with all of our heart, our strength, our mind, and our soul, to exalt Jesus Christ in this land through our lives. We pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen.